WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Some legends are told, some turn to dust or to gold, but you will remember me. Remember me for centuries. Just one mistake.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you have Twitch Prime, if you don't know what Twitch Prime is, click the little purple button up at the top of the screen. It'll tell you what it is, and it'll tell you if you have one, and if you'd like to use your free subscription here, well, we would certainly appreciate it, but there's no pressure, but we'd really like it if you supported the channel. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. That's called Twitch Prime. Then you can subscribe for free and support the channel. That's how you do it right here at Rack Radio Show, at Wild Talk Radio, at Lindsay Ward on Twitter, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or Twitch.tv/W2Live. That's how you interact with us live during the show, because we want your interaction, because we're talking about stuff that you may have an opinion on, and we'll share our opinion, you know, this whole back-and-forth type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we do the things with the stuffs. We talk the wrestlings, we talk the Fortnites, we talk stuff. It's a guy, girl, a radio show. You know, that's how this whole thing works.
That's how this whole thing works. And here's an amazing thing. We're going to let you in on a little secret. We've planned every show until, what, the end of July?
Yeah, one of which we're not doing, by the way, just to fill everybody in on the schedule right now. We'll let you know each week until the week gets here that we are taking 4th of July off. Because I'm going to be out of town, and it's 4th of July, so we will not be here. There will be no live recorded show for that week, but we will be back the next week with a recorded show because I have to go out of town for work. So, okay.
All right. Let me turn this off for a second. All right. So, officially, welcome everybody to the show. Hi. So, the schedule is going as follows. The beginning of January is going to be a little wonky. We're going to have a podcast the second week to preview Extreme Rules. We'll be back live to review Extreme Rules. So that's how that works. As she mentioned, 4th of July, there is no show. There's no content. Okay, we'll give you some content in other facets. Probably have Fortnites and stuff like that. So there'll be content. Just Lindsay won't be here and we won't be doing a wrestling podcast. It's July 4th. We'll be good. We'll be good.
It'll be fine.
Hey, Brent, if you want content, you know what? You know what? If you want content, you and I can make some content. We could talk AEW at some point. We can fill in the gap. I think Lindsay would be okay with that.
Yeah, you know what, Brent, you could be the rack for a week. You could fill in for me, and you and Rock could do the show.
See, he's gonna retract everything he just said because I decided to throw it at him. As he threw it at me, I probably threw it back at him. So you know, It's like a frisbee, one way. Yeah. Anyway, let's get into news presented by youtube.com/mbg1211.
Oh, he says bring it on. Oh, it's on, y'all.
We'll talk about it. We'll figure it out. We'll do something.
Alrighty. So, well, we talked about wrestling in Fortnite, and you know what? You know what? There are two things that are going together this week. That's right. This week is E3 out in LA, and your boy Xavier Woods is representing. He's doing the WWE thing. He's doing the up, 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 down thing. He's doing the video game thing, and he is playing in the Fortnite Pro-Am this year again. He was in it last year. He's going to be in it again this year. He's also doing the creative side of the Pro-Am, which should be highly entertaining to watch. But yeah, this should be really, really, really fun.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
He's doing it with someone from the Netherlands. I forget his name off the top of my head. But it's cool. He's also doing the creative thing for the block party with Ghost Aiden, which is cool. He's like one of the best controller players in the world. So That should be a lot of fun. Heard the creative map thing is pretty wicked. So can't wait for that. Can't wait for a Pro-Am. Like, it's a lot of fun. And it'll be interesting to see how they play it this year. Because last year, Fortnite was just gaining popularity. And it was like, get all the celebrities playing. Knew a little bit how to play the game. But there wasn't building structures and sitting in boxes like it is this year.
Yeah, no, it was still very much in its infancy in terms of creative and building and everything else. And yeah, man, I remember like watching Ninja, like first time I ever cranked a 90. It's like, oh my God, everybody's mind was blown. And now it's just like, that's all you do is crank 90s. So this should be fun. Woods is also going to be accompanied by Big E and Kofi Kingston to cheer him on. They're all three there, like they should be. They travel as a unit.
I mean, that's awesome. So, I'm looking for the Pro-Am. The Pro-Am, for those who want to watch Xavier Woods, Austin Creed, in it is the 4:30 Pacific on both Saturday and Sunday. Check your local listings for time in your area. And it'll be on twitch.tv/Fortnite, or their YouTube channel, or their Mixer, or their Facebook, or their Twitter. It's all over there.
Yep, all over. So, moving on from that, I'm assuming this is a video game thing. You know more about it than I am, but Fyter Fest will be on BR Live for free. I'm going to let you elaborate on that because I'm not sure what that is.
That's AEW's next event.
Aha! There we go!
Fyter Fest will be on
Fyter Fest.
Bleacher Report Live for free. Yes, free for anybody.
Bleacher Report! That's what... God damn it, don't use acronyms with me.
But that's what the service is called. It's called BR Live.
You could say it's Bleacher Report.
Yeah, but that's what it's called.
So really awkward transition when the host doesn't know what it is. Sorry, guys. He didn't explain any of this to me before he told me. I just wrote it down. So NAS, AEW, Fyter Fest will be on Bleacher Report, BR Live, for free, in case anybody else didn't know what the hell that is.
Yeah, okay. So the one catch is you have to sign up and subscribe to it, which is free. You just have to create an account with them, and you can watch it free. So they recommend you do it early. So you have an account and make sure you're logged in day of so you can see it so there's no problems. But that is the one. But it here. Okay. I will save your transition. Okay?
Okay.
Fyter Fest is taking place at a video game con in Florida. So the transition worked.
There we go. Hey! Again, he didn't tell me that. Sticking with AEW for a second, Sean Spears has signed with them, aka the former Ty Dillinger, the Perfect 10. So good for them. Good for him. I hope he has lots of success there.
Yeah.
Brent, just the skin you want is in the item shop. Just go to the item shop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's there. The one skin we've all been waiting for is there.
And when you go there, use code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
Ding! Just perfect plug.
Just throwing that in there.
I used it. Did you?
I used it. She used it. You all should use it.
Everybody should use code ROCKETSOCK. Don't worry about anybody else's code. Just code ROCKETSOCK. Moving on, sticking with AEW, because Jon Moxley continues to be in the news. My goodness, he's such a trendsetter lately. And it was announced that Kenny Omega will be officially fighting each other at All Out. That should be a hell of a bout. And, well, Omega's not the only one that may get Jon Moxley. It seems that Kenta, aka Hideo Itami of previous WWE fame, but he was well famous before WWE, did return to Japan. He showed up at New Japan's show over the weekend. He looked fabulous, and he's ready to kick some ass. He's declared for the G1 along with Jon Moxley, and I believe he actually wants to beat up Jon Moxley.
If they get paired together in the G1 tournament, I mean, it could happen. Hopefully they're in the same block so they can actually fight each other. Or maybe they'll meet in the finals. We'll have to see, but that should be fun. If you want some New Japan coverage, go to @LoneJobber on Twitter with some Eastern wrestling analysis.
Ding! Yeah, if Kenta and John Moxley happens, I will find a way to watch that match.
Well, I'll make sure she sees that match.
Yeah, I want to see that match very much. And Omega and Moxley too, but Kenta.
But that's all in all. Omega and Moxley's not till August 31st.
I know, but like Kenta and Moxley, shut up. Just yeah. Shut the front door. Give it to me now.
You all can see it on New Japan World for $9.99.
Ding. I don't know why I keep doing that. Moving on.
Because it's shameless, kind of, shameless plugs.
Shameless plugs. Well, you know what? Speaking of shameless plugs,
mm-hmm.
John Cena has a new movie franchise that he's going to be a part of.
What?
Seems he's quite popular in Hollywood these days, and he has joined the Fast and Furious franchise because apparently 8 of them are not enough. We're going to have a 9th film. They're just going to beat it till it's dead, y'all. No offense to John Cena. But we're going for Fast and Furious 9 here.
Yeah, Cena's on Fast and Furious 9. The Rock is not. So they're not in the same movie. It'd been cool if they were in the same movie. But now that Cena's in the Fast and Furious universe,
they could
eventually do it. Because there's the Hobbs and Shaw spinoff that is coming this August 2nd,
mm-hmm.
I believe. So that's the latest Fast and Furious film The Rock's in. So Cena's in 9. There probably will be a 10 because this franchise just keeps going. It makes tons of money. It has now an animated series on Netflix. So
there you go.
So it's out there. But speaking of The Rock.
Yeah, speaking of The Rock, he's going to get the Generation Award at the MTV Movie and TV Awards. So go him.
It's weird when you say Movie and TV Awards. Because it's like, to me, it was the Movie Awards.
Yeah, it's the Movie Awards. Now it's Movie and TV. What?
It's just, I guess because Netflix isn't there and whatever. I don't know. Who knows?
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Congratulations to The Rock.
Yeah.
And last but certainly not least, is since we're full of awkward transitions tonight, Chad Gable has joined 205 Live.
Him and Jack Gallagher apparently had a really good match on 205 Live.
That's what I heard. I need to go back and watch it. I just haven't had a chance to yet.
Where can you watch that at, Lindsay?
On the WWE Network for only $9.99 a month.
But if it's your first time with the WWE Network, it's free. For new subscribers.
NXT?
Yeah, let's do some NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So they filmed this one before TakeOver, okay?
Okay.
So it's a little, like, and it was filmed in Maryland. So it was at a house show. Nothing wrong with that. It was weird. You know what I mean? Like the set, it was a house show set. You knew it was a house show set. And it just didn't have the same feel to it. But the wrestling was solid.
It was very solid. The clang.
What did the cat do?
She knocked the glass into the sink. She wants me to turn on the sink. Give me a minute.
All right. She's
you great. Asshole.
Cat sitting is almost done. So it was Io Shirai and Candice LeRae versus Marina and Jasmine Duke. Good matchup. It ended in a no contest. A little crazy at the end. But Io was rolling with Shayna, so that's going to continue. A nice little storyline advancement.
I liked the match. The match was really good. I like that they're starting to focus on Shayna's girls a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to bring them out more. That's very nice. Io and Candice have really good chemistry. And Io beating up Candice was a little sad, but it's like Io's pissed. Io wants Shayna Baszler. And if Candice is in the way, welp. So sorry.
And from what I hear, that's only the beginning. So we'll see how that goes. We had the Dream cutting up a little selfie promo.
Which is very good.
Mm-hmm. Kushida took on Drew Gulak in a submission match. Very good.
So good. So good. I would like more of this, please.
So I'm cool with that. Kushida got the win. It was really good. So there you go. We had Bourne and Aaliyah. They were talking crap about Mia Yim and how they believe they should be ahead of her in the title rankings line. So see where that goes.
I have a little bit of a problem with this just because, and I don't normally call it, okay? I'm just going to say this, but it was just slightly offensive when they whipped out the English for Dummies book. I was like, And then they're like, I don't think she's been through this. I'm like, okay. Like, the beauty book was fine. Even the grammar book was a touch offensive, but the grammar book was a better choice than the English for Dummies, like, basically implying that she didn't know how to speak English. And so it's like, I don't think that's 100% appropriate, but okay, we're just gonna go with this. Because for a second, when they were doing the promo and Vanessa Bourne is standing there with the books, I'm like, are they doing like a high school thing? Like, what the hell are they doing? And then she starts explaining what the books are, and I'm like, okay, all right, we'll go with this, I guess.
And then it was your main event. The Undisputed Era's Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong took on Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch.
What the hell did Kyle tattoo on himself?
I don't know.
What, that is like the most awkward tattoo I think I've ever seen in my life. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but it's really awkward. It's like, where did that come from, sir? And what is it? And why did you do that to yourself? I need answers. But by the way, real quick, we forgot to mention in the news, but congratulations to Kyle O'Reilly and his wife. They bought a house. So go them.
I didn't think that was newsworthy, but cool.
It's a thing. We can mention it.
Oh, if we're mentioning things like that, we can talk about a Blame Lindsay that happened.
Who did I bring up now?
Joey Ryan and his wife. They officially filed for divorce.
Sorry, y'all.
So officially,
# blame Lindsay.
I want a divorce.
Sorry.
So there's that. In a surprise, Lorcan and Burch got the win.
That was a surprise. That was a surprise, I should say. Yeah, but because it's like Undisputed Era was really, really going. This was an excellent match. I would highly recommend it. But then, you know, that darn Gunner showed up.
Riker.
Ruined everything.
Jackson Riker.
I can never remember his NXT name. His name is Gunner, okay? That is his name.
He is the Gunner of the Forgotten Sons, Jackson Riker.
I don't remember that name. I'm sorry. It's difficult for me. His name is Gunner, and that is what he will be called, damn it. Because that is the name I know. So, he came out, he kind of disrupted the match, and he cost Undisputed the Era the win, so it seems that Oney and Burch are going on to face the Street Profits, and well, the Forgotten Sons and Undisputed Era may have some issues, which I am fine with. Not that my opinion matters at all, but I'm fine with this.
But that's NXT.
That's NXT, so I think we're going to take our first and only break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be doing Tweet of the Week. We're going to be doing a little SmackDown. And yes, we have to talk about it. Super Showdown. But we're not doing the whole show, y'all. I promise. We're just doing the high points. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we'll be right back.
This could take all night. Think I need a devil to help me get things right. Hook me up a new revolution. This one is a lie. Sat around laughing and watched the last one.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey,
every Monday night. Get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. And I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're going to put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RackRadioShow.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's RockNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
This is WWE Superstar Natalya, and you're listening to The Rack Radio Show.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you wouldn't mind, please click the purple button up at the top if you're listening on Twitch to see if you have a free Twitch Prime sub available. If you don't know what that is, the information is all there for you if you click the button. And if you do have one and you'd like to use it here, we'd very much appreciate it, but it's not necessary.
Just do it.
He wants you to very much use the thing, and so do I.
Just do
the thing. Anyway, so we are coming out of our news segment, and we're going to take a quick little humor break to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're given. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty, Mr. Klondike Bill. Lacey Evans is Lacey Evans is shit. According to him, absolute shit. She fucking sandbagged Bailey on the Bailey to Belly. Don't effin' at me. #raw. And he includes the video of the incident where Matt Riddle replies, she must have watched WWE SSD.
Damn.
Matthew.
Damn.
Matthew Riddle. Calm Thy tit. Good lord, son. Asuka. Xavier Woods, please don't hit me, mom. With a cry face. Asuka, no. With an angry face. And it's a picture of Asuka and Xavier at E3 together, where they're at a booth and she's got like a hammer or something over his head and he's like laying there crying. And there's a giant like snow dragon behind them, which is awesome. And Austin Creed replies, mom! With a crying emoji. I love wrestlers at stuff like this. I wish we could see it more often.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much fun. That's all I have.
So you have? Okay. Kevin Owens. Having blast spending time with some SOCT Connecticut athletes before kicking off the summer games later today. Also got to visit WWE headquarters for the first time. Vince's office was locked. Don't ask me why I know that. I just do. Years of courage, JD. Years of carrying Tim the Tapman is paying off for Ninja right now. He looks cool, calm, and collected with a teammate who lacks the ability to defend himself in the game. Inspiring.
Courage. Courage.
Dr. Lupo, it was an honor at Nate Shot. Thank you so much. Oh my god. And this picture of Lupo and Courage. Nate Shot replied, we look great together here, having so much fun casting with you these past couple weeks. Coxy, dang, you really let yourself go, huh? And Courage goes, are you done? Ah.
Poor Courage. He's just getting beat up right and center this week. You know, he really is. First Tim and now this. By the way, I need Courage and Tim to move in together and them just give each other enormous amounts of shit constantly. I need that in my life so hard.
So, Becky and the Edge continue. So, where we pick up where we left off, and this is where Edge goes, oh, wait, what? This is still happening? Sorry, the man. I got bored after your last week tweet and walked away. Kind of like I do when your matches come on, huh? You used to like puns before you were cool, right? Ratings juggernaut. And again, I say, be gone, little one. Becky replies, got a minute here. Let's see Edgy's reply. Oh, the ratings bro retort to one of the few who gains audience on TV? Weird. Must be talking about Beth. Wonder if he's getting his women mixed up as he's been known to do when there's a red-headed wrestler involved.
Becky! Becky! We don't talk about that!
He replies, took you long enough to find your writer to write this for you? He needs work. Okay, trust me, we won't confuse your dumpster fire hair color with the other redhead. And be careful, you may get Beth back and she may knock you back to your Riverdance days, last kicker. Now quit obsessing. And he posted a picture of her back as the Riverdance last kicker. She replied, dude, why did you tag me on this? Also, I've been trying to fight your wife this whole time, so go back to tweeting things your daughter didn't say, and I'll go and beat the one adult in your house that isn't made of glass.
Ouch! Becky! Damn, y'all. Damn.
Okay, while you Edge, okay, while you scramble with your Ghost Rider, come up with a comeback and think of the next wrestler you'll rip off, Stone Cold Stan Austin. I'm going to go shine one of my 31 championships. Goodbye, Becky. One belt. And he continued. You actually made Jersey smell worse thinking up the main event like you did. You should focus on improving that instead of standing me, kiddo. But it could work out for you. Maybe Beth can carry you to a decent match. But Becky's not done.
Of course she's not.
Yeah, would it be awful if one of us was using the other people's, hey, wait a minute. Plus still waiting on the misses. She in by any chance? And then she posted a picture of someone using the Stone Cold Stan Austin come back a while back, or as a reply to one of the things. So yeah, Edge goes, yeah, I had that one in the bank already, but clearly it's an easy softball if I'm not the only one thinking. If you want the match so bad, quit trolling me, just ask her. Also, don't you have a job? I earned my retirement, go earn yours. Also, no comment on your Mania match. And then Edge decided to change his profile. The man, since we're telling secrets and talking past relationships, make sure your man doesn't send you those pics. Didn't work out well for him last time.
Edge! Adam Copeland, you go to your room for that!
I believe she changed hers as well, but I don't have what it was.
She did, but I don't remember what she put it as. But, yeah. Oh my god. Why? Why? Just why?
So, our buddy Matt Goldberg, you know, MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211, has a Twitter, at WrestleFigNews.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought up the new Epic Moments Toys collection, Ultimate Deletion. No, it's yes, wonderful. Bray replied to that tweet. I was wearing green pants. Tisk tisk. Matt Hardy, maybe in 2019 it's green equals red? Bray, the devil in the details. It is cool Matt got a reply.
It is cool Matt got a reply.
Alright, we got more. Let's see, scrolling up.
You looked better in the red pants, Bray.
Joey Ryan, I'll fight Justin Bieber, because someone wants to fight him, Tom Cruise or something?
No, he put out a tweet basically challenging Tom Cruise to an MMA fight.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So, Joey Ryan says he'll fight Justin Bieber. Bray Wyatt replies, sign me up for a triple threat as long as we do it in New Orleans. Bieber owes me a WrestleMania match.
Bray, no. No. Honey, no.
No. Bray Wyatt, I want to make you smile. I'm glad I have, but please don't be still enough to forget what I can do when I want to. When will you all learn to never doubt me? What we do from now on will change everything. Promise. I've had too much time to think. No mistakes. Too much time with too many critics rambling on about what I'm capable of. You will see. This time is different. I'm not afraid anymore. I have Fiend now, and Fiend is ready. Yowie wowie. I'll pray for you. XOXO. Pray.
Son, please don't tease me. Okay? Just don't. I'm... Just please go murder people. Thank you.
EC3. I will eat rotten killings. Hashtag raw. Matt Hardy. Now you're starting to understand how this place breaks you. Keep your cats in a separate room. EC3 replied. Hashtag broken. Matt Hardy replies. Dear EC3. I'm sorry Xena's encouraged me to eat your pussies. I'm sure they're delightful cats. Kayfabe this. You're my favorite rival on another plane. If I was the Booker man, I'd dip you in the lake and strap a rocket onto you and fire you into the multiverse. Truce. I mean, I would too. EC3 replied, truce? No? Alliance? Get it?
Yeah.
Yes. EC3, and like a lot of things, the cats are dead to me. So, something that's been the talk of the internet lately is John Cena's comment about having an accidental boner or two.
Uh-huh.
Scott Armstrong. Well, I have ref multiple John Cena matches through the years, implying that's the reason why John Cena gets boners.
Ew.
That was Tweet of the Week.
Alrighty. Well, we have to talk about it because it happened. But like I said, we are not going to talk about the super uber, like the long show and everything that happened in the show because there's just some stuff that it happened. We don't need to recap. It was there. But there were some big moments at this show. I'm talking about WWE Super Showdown, which aired live from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. And so we're going to try to talk about the show positively. I know this show, because we were very late to the party. Everybody else has already kind of weighed in on this one. Can I get some
negatives out of the way first?
Please. Well, let me disclaimer it, and then
okay.
You can...
Okay.
So we're, as he says that, we're going to try and put this in as much of a positive light as we can, because the show has been very much panned. But I do want to talk about the positives, because there were quite a few that people aren't really mentioning. So, yeah. All right. Get your negatives out of the way, then we're going to talk positive.
Here's the negatives. Poor Shinsuke Nakamura getting eliminated by Sin Cara. God, I feel bad for him. That's negative one, number one. Number two, poor Viking Raiders getting eliminated by Titus O'Neil. Boy, has their stock fallen. All right, there's my negatives out of the way. That's as negative as I want to get.
Yeah.
There, as everyone else has sort of panned this show, as Lindsay mentioned, people have gone uber negative about it, and there's no reason to go uber negative about a show. We tend to not do that here. Other people may, and that's their right to do so. But we try to look at things from a different perspective.
Okay, that being said, can I do my negative?
Sure.
My negative for the show is, to me, it was forgettable. That's my main negative of the show, is you came away from it, and like the one thing you remember is probably the worst thing that happened on the show, and I completely understand that, because it was the last thing that you saw. It did leave a bad impression. But to me, it's like this show was strictly for entertainment. It did further some storylines along, but not a lot. And it was really mainly put on for the people of Saudi Arabia. It wasn't, and they just happened to air it on the network. Like, they're like, okay, well, yeah, we can monetize this and we can air this all over the world and people will see it and they'll want to see it and they'll buy in to see it. Especially with Taker and Goldberg on the card, you knew people were going to want to see it. But yeah, I mean, it was an average show. It was forgettable. I will say this, overall, it did have a WrestleMania feeling to it. The stage was sick. There were some pretty sweet entrances in the show, which we're going to get into.
It did. So there's that. So you mentioned storylines in the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one constant storyline has been Shane McMahon, and that's my biggest surprise of the show. Shane McMahon beating Roman Reigns. I was surprised that happened.
I think everybody was. I mean, it was kind of something that, like, it's Roman, right? So you automatically expect Roman to win, but I think one thing that we discounted or we didn't think about was the fact that Shane is a McMahon, and the McMahons, 9 times out of 10, find a way to win. So, but it's like, it's Roman, right? So who do you pick? Shane or Roman? Shane or Roman? And I think we all went with Roman because it's like, that's the safe choice. You know, it's, again, it's Roman. I kind of like that you had Shane beat Roman because it's continuing the story. It's getting Shane away from Miz, but you're keeping Miz right on the edge of that in case Roman needs him for anything, which is nice. I really like this. The two had a decent match. Again, Shane being in his late 40s, almost 50 years old, is not in the best physical conditions.
No, here's the thing. Shane McMahon is blown up in a normal ring with cool environments. They were wrestling in 102-degree weather. That's how bad they were saying it felt like an inferno wrestling in that ring.
Yeah, that should also be something mentioned. It was hot as hell. So a lot of people were having difficulties in the ring just because of how hot it was. And I don't think they had the ring that has the air conditioning system in it with them.
No, they don't, because you can't fly that over. Because that's a big setup that you can't do.
Yeah. So they just had a ring there. And they were trying to keep people as cool as possible and accommodate people as best they could. But, you know, it was just scorching hot there, which it's Saudi Arabia in the summer. I mean, what do you do?
Right, you really can't do anything about it, which is why they were trying to get the show in May, where it's cooler, but things didn't line up for them. So now you understand how things kind of work there. So that was my biggest surprise of the night. One of the more forgettable matches, and something I don't need to see again, is Strowman and Lashley. It was okay, but it didn't move the needle for me in either way. You know what I mean? I wasn't looking forward to it. Strowman needs a type of opponent that can sell for him really well. His matches aren't that great, except for the ones with Big Show, where he's against a guy with the same power. Strowman is better off with a smaller guy like Sami Zayn, who can bump for him and make up for the lack of some of the skill that Braun has. Lashley needs the same type of opponent. So to that me, they don't mix. You know?
No, I agree with that.
So that's one thing that happened. Anything else we need to talk about from that match?
We're good. It was there. Like I said, this is one of the matches that was more forgettable. I mean, I hate to say that about both of them because they really did try, but it was just there. It just didn't do anything for me.
In a match that would have been fantastic in front of a different crowd was Finn Balor and Andrade.
It makes me so sad that they didn't care about this because this was really, really good. Finn had an epic level entrance on top of it. Like, we got a WrestleMania level demon entrance for this show. So it was like there was that. And Andrade and Finn, there was a little awkwardness, but they mix really, really well together. I would love to see more of this. Of course, once Andrade is back, he's out on personal leave due to family issues.
Mm-hmm.
But this was so... so good. This was probably one of the best matches on the night, here.
I would say, other than the Universal title match, this was the second best match of the night.
Yeah. I mean, this was just really well done, which you would expect from these two.
Yeah. So I mentioned the Battle Royal earlier, and the Battle Royal was, okay. Having 50 people in a ring is just, whew.
I like how there was the Horde, and then there were, like, people who got entrances. But, like, the 45 people all came out at once. Like, aww, that sucks. But what was nice about the Battle Royal, aside from Shinsuke getting eliminated by Sin Cara, we don't talk about that. That was not nice. But what was nice was they had one of the guys that they had picked up last year at the tryout. They had him win.
Mm-hmm.
So local guy wins the Greatest Royal Rumble or the 50-man Battle Royal. In his hometown,
51.
In front of his...
51 now, because there's an additional man.
Okay, whatever. But anyway, local guy wins.
Mansoor? I forget how you pronounce it. He's an NXT training prospect. So it was cool. It's cool to see. The Battle Royale had
popped the crowd really, really, really well.
Yeah. And speaking of popping the crowd, and not the internet, Twitter, was Triple H and Randy Orton. If you watched that matchup and thought, oh my god, Randy Orton headlock, lol, good. That's what you're supposed to think, because they had a traditional wrestling match with some outside elements to pop the crowd. But if you listen to the crowd the entire time, and not Twitter, you'd be like, this is a 3.5-star, 4-star match with them popping the crowd at the end. Because that's what they did.
You have Randy Orton who is methodical as hell, taking on Triple H, who is methodical as hell. They don't work fast matches. They don't work high impact matches. They never have together. They're always slow. They're always psychological. There's a lot of wrestling involved. And when they have to fight, they do slug it out. But ultimately, it is, like Rock said, it's a more traditional format between these two because that's what they know. And so they complement each other very well in that instance. And that's why it's like when everybody's like, oh my God, this match is so slow. What do you expect? Number one is Randy Orton. Randy Orton. Okay? Randy doesn't work fast.
No.
Never has.
They didn't.
Never, ever has.
And they didn't need to in this matchup. They just had to put on a show to give the live crowd what they came to see. Two guys, a lot of history, wrestling. That's what you got. It was simple and effective. And sometimes in wrestling, that's all you need. I'll talk about that in a little bit.
It was a great match. It was a cherry on top to a very long-standing feud between Hunter and Randy. You know, the history kind of speaks for itself on this one, and they rested on the history a little bit with this match, I'm not going to lie. But like you said, they don't need to be out there working super hard, and this isn't a knock at anybody or anywhere that they go, but you're already working in 100 degree heat. The last time Hunter went over to Jeddah, he got hurt. So that's got to be in the back of his mind. And it's like they know they've got to go back and they've got a grueling schedule when they get back. So it's like you're going to put the maximum amount of effort that you can into the match, and you're going to make sure that the people get what they're paying for. But at the same time, you're going to do it safely, and you're not going to do anything crazy or stupid if you don't have to.
Exactly.
And so they worked a good, solid match. Was it the most exciting thing on the planet? No, absolutely not. It was not. But there was a lot of psychology there that was going on that I really liked. And I loved the fact that they brought Hunter's motorcycle over.
You knew it was big when they brought the cycle over.
Like, they put that thing on a jet and they flew it over. Like, that's just amazing. And also, Randy was not wearing black.
He was wearing red. What?
Which is new.
Yeah.
I think those were throwbacks. Those were either the original trunks or those were his throwback trunks.
I've never seen them before. That was cool.
They were very cool. So yeah. But this was really, really good. If you enjoy a traditional wrestling match, I would highly recommend that you watch this.
Should have mentioned, going back, circling back, Finn Balor beat Andrade. It was a good match. Should have given the winner. That was my bad.
This one did have a surprising winner, though.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, Orton should have gone over.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the full-time guy, and Hunter could take the loss. But it was fine. Good match. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
I thought it was fine.
I don't know about, I know Twitter didn't it, but I did. Kofi retained his WWE Championship over Dolph Ziggler. Good match. Not the best match. It's good match. Enjoyable. As we know, it's now the first of a series of matches with the two. So then they give us everything. You had Woods get involved a little bit after Dolph took out Woods. So Woods got back involved a little bit with a distraction, allowed Kofi to get the win. Some people have a problem with it. I thought this was storyline advancement because of what Ziggler did next. What were your thoughts on the match?
This was very good. I mean, my only issue with this is just because they haven't had the time to really build this, it felt like a really strong main event for SmackDown and not necessarily something that's on a WrestleMania level quality. Like, I feel like if they had the time to build Dolph up a little bit more and really highlight him and really make it this have this big match feel that it should, this would have felt better. But it just, to me, it was just like, okay, all right, it's just a really good main event for TV, but it's a pay-per-view.
So yes, and then Ziggler complained about it all and challenged Kofi to a steel cage match at Stomping Grounds, and that's where they're headed.
And that's the reason why you didn't get more is because they're doing the match again in like 2 weeks. And so they just have to be careful that they don't put on this like barn burner of a match and then they go back home and at Stomping Grounds it's just like meh. Like, they're holding on to it. They're saving the big moment for when they're ready to give it to you, which I really, really like. In terms of Woods' involvement, one of two things is going to happen. Woods is going to cost Kofi the title, and New Day's going to break up, which I would very much hope they don't at this point.
They're not breaking up.
They're not breaking up, or they go heel. But I mean, it's, in terms of Woods' involvement, it's not... Woods is looking out for his boy.
And Dolph struck first.
Mm-hmm.
So it's self-defense. Dolph struck first. That's all. Okay. I have one more negative thing I need to say.
Okay.
And it's not what happened in the ring. It was booking. Monday Night Raw, we saw Lars Sullivan beat the hell out of Kalisto, Lince Dorado, and Grand Metalik and won his match cleanly in a squash. That should have happened on this show. Instead, this was a handicap match like we saw on Monday, this past Monday, that ended in disqualification.
And then, I feel like there was a little personal retribution in this one.
And then he beat them up afterwards. So, I don't... That was stupid booking. Flat out stupid booking.
Yeah. It didn't make a lot of sense.
Because Lars beat them up afterwards. He could have beat them and squashed them here. He could have did the rematch on Raw same way to show his dominance. First, he goes 50-50 with them in a way. It just... It was terrible booking. Flat out terrible booking. It was a match I forgot about on the show, and then I'm reading the match line, I was like, wait, gotta mention that was a negative.
Yeah, that wasn't the best showing for anybody involved, and it didn't really add a lot of entertainment value to it, but I feel like there was a little bit of a comeuppance for Rob, good lord, Lars, going on there.
Seth Rollins and Baron Corbin in your opener, so you knew it was WrestleMania because the WWE Universal title opened the show like it did at WrestleMania.
Okay, so I thought what was really funny is like there was a rumor going around on Friday about this and the fact that it was opening and that Brock was going to cash in and he was going to fail, and everybody was like malinting the fact that Brock was going to like burn the Money in the Bank contract. And so when this match came on first, it was like, oh no, are they going to do the rumor? Is that going to be a thing? Well, of sorts.
Of sorts.
Brock did show up.
He did show up. But Corbin had a really good match with Rollins. Rollins got the best out of him. So that was cool.
I feel like if you, like, again, if you put Baron Corbin in the ring with the right people, he's really, really good. And I think that's the problem, is it's just, like, they cannot find him a dance partner. And Seth is just a really good dance partner for a lot of people. Because I think he can adapt his style a little bit more to whoever he's working with. And also, he just sells. Like a MF-er, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just sells. And so he makes whoever he's working with look really good constantly. I don't think he can have a bad match.
Well, he can. Can have a really bad opponent. But Rollins' gear looked good. Cool. I liked his new gear.
Yeah, new gear was nice.
So Rollins got the win with a roll up. Baron Corbin attacked Rollins afterwards with the End of Days. Okay. Then Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar came out. I love Paul Heyman. So they're coming to the ring and Lesnar has the chair, and then Paul Heyman stumbles into the ring and trips over the ropes, allowing the briefcase for Rollins to get the upper hand with a low blow because of it, because of the distraction, and then Rollins beat the crap out of Lesnar with the steel chair. I thought that was fantastic. I thought Heyman's selling was perfect. It was like, he's going to cash in, and then boom, nope. The comedy spot, and boom, Rollins got to beat the hell out of the beast. So it was a cash in attempt, but the bell never rang. So the rumor was kind of right, but they told the perfect story. This was the best storyline advancement of the night. They told the story that needed to be told. Lesnar can get in there, try to cash in, doesn't have to do it, and makes it more of a threat. Now he can disappear for 4 months and show up on Fox in October, and it'd be cool.
Yeah, and you just have Heyman in the meantime trolling around with the briefcase, sort of teasing Rollins in the interim, and just casually reminding people that, oh, hey, yeah, by the way, Brock Lesnar is your Money in the Bank winner, but he's just not around. Until he sort of, everybody's like, oh, yeah, sure, Brock's going to show up. Yeah, lol. And then he actually does, and we all lose our minds. So, yeah, this was really, really, really super good. And it's like, this set the tone. You hoped for the rest of the night. That wasn't quite the case in some matches. But overall, so far, yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Then we get to what was the main event. Goldberg versus The Undertaker.
Okay, so Taker's entrance was epic. Like, just absolutely epic. I'm so happy that they gave him that. He had druids and he had fire. They brought the fireboxes over. You know, he came out and I think he rose up through the stage. Is that what he did?
I missed him. I missed the first 15 seconds of his entrance because my food came.
So I think he like either rose up through the stage. He didn't just walk out. Like, he actually came up, I feel like, if I remember right, through the stage. And it was just really cool. They had the lighting. He had fireworks. He had fire, like all the things. They made it feel really uber important. Like that was one of the really cool things about this show, is like for the really big entrances, they shot off fireworks because it's an open air stadium. And so that just added a layer that just made it extra cool. Goldberg's entrance was a little creepy because he came out through his face. Like that was his Tron, was his face, and it was just his eyes, and they were a weird color, and yeah, it was a little weird. But this is where the controversy of this match sort of starts, is per Goldberg's ritual, he smacks his head on the door. Why he smacks his head on the door, I do not know, but he smacks his head on the door, and then he comes out and he does his normal entrance. So he did that now, but you heard him let out a curse before he came out, and you're like, oh, that's not good. And then he comes out and he does the match. And before we get into Rock's theory of how this should have gone, this did not go to plan. Somewhere between Goldberg hitting his head on the door and a turnbuckle spot early in the match, where Goldberg got cut open really, really bad, Goldberg knocked himself out. Like, knocked himself stupid and could not wrestle. And for whatever reason, the match was not stopped. I don't think anybody's really sure why it wasn't stopped, unless they just couldn't get word of the back, or Goldberg insisted he was fine, or Taker felt like he could carry it. I'm not sure what happened, and we'll probably never know. But Goldberg knocked himself stupid. They tried to wrestle the match. Taker tried to carry him. It's a miracle. Neither man got hurt, because Goldberg was just having a really, really, really hard time. And I think they finally realized what was going on, because this just went for a quick finish, and Taker won. But Taker did not look happy about this match. He was not... I mean, he literally had a this bitch look on his face after the match. Like, he was pissed, and you could tell he was pissed.
Yeah, because there are blown spots. He tried for a jackhammer, turned into a brainbuster, dropped Taker almost on his head. Taker tried a tombstone, almost dropped Goldberg on his head, because Goldberg was out of it and couldn't properly position his head for the tombstone, which can end really badly for some people. So there was that. This matchup was awkward. You have anything else to say before I go?
Taker looked really good. He fixed his hair. I'm very proud of him.
Is that it?
I'm going to let you go, and then I'll follow up.
Okay. So, couple things. For starters, we've been mentioning throughout the night the temperature, 100 degrees. That's not good. For older men, that's not... Especially who have not been in the ring much. Goldberg's first match since WrestleMania 33, right? Yeah, 33. Mm-hmm. And Taker since...
Mania this year.
Well, no, October. He wasn't on Mania. October.
But he was on Raw. He beat up Elias. But
his first match since October. Or November. Beginning of November last year. That's one thing that does not play in their favor. The show started at 9 p.m. local time. And they put them out there at 12:30 a.m.
Yeah.
That was bad idea. Terrible idea. I know they're the big headliners in the main event. They should have not been out there at 12:30 in the goddamn morning.
No, they shouldn't have. They really... Why you put them out there at 12:30 in the morning, I'm not entirely sure, but that was just a touch late.
No. I've watched a lot of wrestling in my time. A lot. I can put together a matchup for these men that would have drawn the crowd in, and these men would have had taken 4 bumps total between the two. Okay? And Matt may remember this because he's an old-time wrestling fan. You know big man, power man matches? Here's something people don't do anymore that would have worked for these two men. Does everyone remember the collar and elbow tie-up? Anyone remember that where you push one man to the rope and then the referee steps in and breaks it up? You do that. And then what do you do after that? A collar and elbow tie-up. This time the opposite other man uses his power and pushes the other man into the back. You do that a couple times and then you could do the slash taunt. And the Goldberg can do a mean face, and you can, you know, get the crowd really into it. And then, remember this old classic, the test of strength. I put up my arm up in the air. The other guy goes, maybe I should do it. And then he locks arms. And they lock horns, and they power each other back and forth. Imagine how cool that would have been, right? The crowd would have ate it up. And these guys, I'm getting there, Matt, getting there. Then, as Matt said, you do the headlock, the side headlock. You get in, grip it in tight. You shove them off into the ropes. Go for a shoulder tackle. No one moves. So you come back off the ropes. Shoulder tackle. Doesn't move. You could have spent 5 to 7 minutes doing nothing. And the crowd would have ate it up. And then, Then you can have Taker take a moment, grab him by the arm. He could have went old school. There's a bump. He could have set up for the choke slam. Goldberg could have got out of it. Spear. There's a bump for Taker. There's your false finish. Then Goldberg could have either gone for the jackhammer or gone for the spear again if you didn't want to lift Taker up. This time, you counter that. Taker does the choke slam. Boom. Down goes Goldberg. Two count. Then you could have gone for the finish. Boom. You're done. Everyone would have went home happy because you put a couple false finishes in. You ate up the crowd. It would have been simple wrestling, especially for guys who are 50 plus years old in 90 to 100 degree weather.
Who just made a 20-hour flight, by the way.
That's how they should have done this matchup. Simple, easy booking. Not overcomplicated, quick out of the gate spear. Easy and simple. Want to know why I can tell you this all works? Triple H and Randy Orton. Simple and easy, effective. It works. The crowd eats it up. Simple wrestling for older guys. Because that's wrestling in the past. It's not flippy stuff from 2019. It's old school lockup from the late 80s, early 90s. That's wrestling that this crowd would have ate up, that these guys could have done to save themselves and not look like an embarrassment in the ring.
Yeah, and that's ultimately, unfortunately, what this match was. What it was, a very embarrassing showing for The Undertaker and a very embarrassing showing for Goldberg. And sadly, there were a lot of calls for them to retire, or in this case, be allowed to retire, because it's like a lot of the blame actually came down on WWE and Vince McMahon, because it's like you keep bringing them back, you keep having them come back to wrestle, and every time... Now, it's like we're starting to see stuff like this happen where it's just like it's an embarrassment. They didn't look good. It wasn't a good showing. And I know both of them take such pride in what they do. Like Goldberg actually went out and publicly apologized for what had happened in the match and that he knew it wasn't his best and he felt awful that it wasn't his best. And I know Taker probably feels the same way. He's not going to publicly tweet about it. But that, you know, again, there's a level of pride that both of these men carry in themselves and in their abilities. And then when something like this happens, you know it shakes them. Because Taker actually went out and liked a comment on Instagram basically calling for him to be able to retire right after this happened. So I think there's a lot of like hard feelings, or there's a lot of feelings coming out of this, obviously. There's a rumor that there was a shouting match. I don't know how true that is.
It's been, you know... That didn't happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I'm sure there were words said. I'm sure they've gone, you know, again, they all had to fly back together. So I'm sure there were words said and they kind of talked about the match. Goldberg, I don't think, remembers it. But, I mean, it's just very unfortunate this did not go to plan. I feel like they went over the top because this is the main event. It's a WrestleMania level show. So you can't do the simple match in the main event of the WrestleMania show. They felt like they had to do more. There was a certain level of expectations that were set, I feel like, for them that they were trying to meet. And it's just really unfortunate because Goldberg just knocked himself stupid sometime between when he left the wall, either when he was leaving the locker room or when he tried to hit that first spear.
Oh, yeah. But you say not the level of WrestleMania main event. I challenge that by saying Hogan, Andre in your WrestleMania main events. I challenge that with Hogan, Warrior in your main events at WrestleMania.
That's in the 80s.
I know. But it's still it's matches people look upon fondly to this day. It works. That's my point.
Yes, I'm not disputing that it doesn't work, but what I'm saying is it is 2019, and I feel like while that would have worked fine, there would have been a lot of complaints about the match being too slow or being too simple, and I think it was personal expectations that were set, and maybe even expectations from the company that, you know, there was a certain level of pressure there that was like, look, this is a big deal. It's a big show. There's a lot of money on the line. We're bringing you guys in. You're the headliners. We need you to do something spectacular. And while I don't think they expected them to have a match that they probably would have 10 years ago, because let's all be real, Goldberg and Taker in their primes, holy crap. But, you know, we need you to go out there and do your job. We need you to go out there and perform at a very high level. And I think they tried to, and I would have been very curious to see what this would have been had Goldberg not gotten hurt. Like, that's the whole thing that kind of screwed the pooch on this match, was Goldberg got hurt. It wasn't that they can't still go. It's that Goldberg just wasn't able to that night. And that's the whole thing that I think people are missing, is like, because the match went on for probably a good, like, what, 5-10 minutes?
Yeah, it went 10 after. No, it was a total of 10 minutes, the match itself.
So it went on about 5 more minutes, and I think, like I said, I think either Taker called it, or they finally got word to the back, and the back killed it because it was just so bad what was going on in the ring, or it was just like, look, this is not safe, this has to end. I'm not sure what happened, because they just went for the finish so fast, but yeah, I mean, I would be curious to see what this would have been had people not gotten injured.
So, that's our take, the positive take. The critical with a solution take. Not, oh my god, let's pan it on the internet take.
Well, I mean, it's just a very unfortunate accident. I would question why it was wasn't stopped. Like, that's my whole thing, is it's like he got hurt. Why did it go on for as long as it went on? I mean, again, all you had to do was, if that was the case, where it's like, look, we're just going to kill it because Bill can't go. It's all right. Taker knocks him down, or, you know, basically hits a chokeslam or hits a tombstone. 1, 2, 3, your winner, the Undertaker. Because again, it's Goldberg, right? He never had any long matches. So, or not a lot of long matches, I should say. So that would have been fine too. It's like, I think the more the fact that both of them showed up and both of them were there and meant more than the actual match did.
Yeah. So that's a Super Showdown. Want to do a little SmackDown?
Let's do a little SmackDown, because things happened.
With a new bumper.
Ew.
Welcome, everyone, to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
The best in the world!
I like the new bumper.
I'm gonna miss Daniel Bryan, but yeah.
But he doesn't do the yes anymore.
I know, but I like the ladies and gentlemen.
Maybe I'll mix the two up. How about that?
That'll work.
So, coming out of SmackDown, we had some things, including R-Truth locking himself into a crate.
That's not good.
And now he's being shipped off to Raw because
that's
he's
really
in a crate.
Not good. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's not healthy.
No, he's you follow him on Twitter. It's a thing. So. Miz wanted to get his hands on Shane McMahon one more time tonight on SmackDown because, well, that's what Miz wants.
Reasons.
Shane had him do the whole Miz TV and had him ask questions and do proper introductions. And, you know, Miz, he didn't quite do it per the script.
Well, I mean, you know, he didn't have his prescription glasses. Clearly,
yeah,
it was just hard for him to read it. There was a smudge.
Smudge. It's, you know, is what it is. So, For Miz to get his hands on Shane, he had to go through Elias and Drew McIntyre in separate matches. I felt bad for Elias because they clearly made it. We all know he was going to lose.
Yeah.
But in this case, Miz lost to Drew McIntyre, but Shane was like, I'm still going to give him the match. And then quickly beat him because he was already out cold.
Yep.
So continue the feud. It brought Miz back into it a little bit. So that was good.
It gives someone for either McIntyre or Elias to feud with while Shane is busy with Roman. And it just makes this a little bit more complicated, which is nice. Because, you know, I think a lot of people are unhappy with, Drew McIntyre and Elias being in Shane's camp. And I think a lot of people are unhappy that Shane's like your main star on the show. I was talking to a friend about this actually. Hi, Whit. And, basically it boils down to Shane McMahon is one of their top stars, whether you like it or not.
Oh,
dude's there.
I have a point to make too after that.
You know, where he's there every week, busting his hump. He's not wrestling every week, but he's wrestled pretty much, I think, every pay-per-view since he came back, or he's appeared at it.
He's wrestled every single pay-per-view in 2019. Stomping Grounds will be the first pay-per-view he's not wrestling on, but he'll be there.
He'll be there, but I mean, he's been wrestling, so 6 months, 6 pay-per-views, he's done more than Brock Lesnar, some of their other talent. And so, you know, I can't fault Shane because Shane is out there working. He's on, like I said, he's doing TV every week. He's doing pay-per-views. He's not doing house shows, but I think he does the occasional one when he needs to.
When they're in New York.
when they're in New York or when they're close by, he'll do a house show. So, I mean, I really can't fault Shane, and I can't give Shane a lot of crap because, again, Shane is one of the top stars that they have on SmackDown. And Shane is also the only male McMahon at this point. And what I mean by that is Shane is stepping into his father's shoes. Like, Vince is the all-seeing, all-knowing McMahon, right? But he's in his 70s at this point. Vince should not be wrestling, period. No. And I think Vince has acknowledged that, and Vince is not going to do that. And also, Vince doesn't want to be on TV anymore. He just doesn't. Doesn't do anything for him. So Shane can sort of fill that role that Vince and then later Stephanie filled, you know, where they were the evil bosses, people wanted to fight them. People couldn't necessarily fight Stephanie because she was a girl, but they can fight Shane. Mm-hmm. And you can do this where it elevates talent when they fight Shane. Like getting to work with a McMahon is a big deal. Shows a lot of faith in a person that they get to work with someone from the family.
So,
excluding Hunter.
Excluding Hunter. So, question, scenario thrown to you. Is Shane McMahon the next WWE heavyweight champion of the world?
I feel like if you told the story right, yeah, he could be.
I mean, he's the best in the world at the moment. It would make sense that he's your next WWE champion.
I mean, I wouldn't have him hold it for terribly long.
No, you don't have a long run, no.
But, yeah, I mean, it's like, I feel like you could, especially when you're ready to take the title off Kofi, you have him win it in something like a three-way where there's no DQ and he wins it through shenanigans or something like that, but he becomes the true best in the world because he wins the title.
Okay, I'm going to throw a scenario out to you, all right?
Okay.
Shane wins.
Okay.
He's your WWE champion. Then feud with Roman for the title, and Roman regains the title by beating the best in the world.
Okay.
That should be the logical story they go with next.
I wouldn't be offended by that, honestly.
No. Go ahead.
I feel like if you build Shane right, if you build the story right, Shane could feasibly win the title and it'd be fine. I mean, Vince held the title in the day.
He held it for a weekend, yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, what's wrong with Shane doing the same thing? You know, he's the evil boss. He's completely self-serving at this point. And it's like, hey, I want to be champion. You know, F that Kofi's earned it. F that Dolph has probably earned it. F that, you know, Roman wants it. I want it.
Shane's
so I'm going to take it for myself.
Yeah,
I'm the best in the world. I'm going to take it for myself.
So, there's that. This episode saw Carmella lose to Sonya Deville with help from Mandy Rose. It saw Nikki Cross battle Bayley, which was a fine little match.
Bayley. The best part of this was Alexa was like, oh yeah, Bayley's talking crap about you on Twitter. And Nikki's like, oh, let me see. And Alexa's like, oh, I have her blocked. And then they did like a post match interview with Bayley. And she's like, she has me blocked. What does she know what I'm tweeting? She doesn't.
Exactly.
Billy's like, hello!
So, you know, there's that. The show saw the return of Big E, which they did a whole promo, and then it set up the main event with the New Day getting the win.
Yay!
But there's one other thing we need to mention before we're done tonight.
Okay.
So Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan were out to challenge for championships. The YOLO County Tag Team Champions. It was supposed to be a unification match, but Heavy Machinery came out and wanted the title shot. So Daniel Bryan said they earned a title shot. And you guys will fight the YOLO County Tag Team Champions. And they're within the ring with cardboard belts. Oh, that was fantastic. And what made it even better afterwards, like on .com and on the YouTube, they were taking photos with the belts.
I know. That made me so happy. I'm just going to say this. I love Otis Dosovic. I love him so much. He is one of my favorite wrestlers right now because he's just hilarious. But the one thing that like just made me kind of lose it in this whole promo before the match was there's something I never thought I would ever hear Eric Rowan called ever in my life, and that is an elitist coward. Like, I just sat here for a minute after that line got dropped, and I was like, what?
It's a thing.
What did you just call him?
Yeah. Oh, one of the YOLO Tag Team Champions was former Tough Enough competitor AJ Kirsch.
Awesome. That's good for him.
I don't think Hunter did that. Connor wasn't on TV, so he did not do the cardboard belt pose with Heavy Machinery.
He did not, no. But they could probably Photoshop him in if they really wanted to.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But that was SmackDown. Solid show.
It was a solid show. It's building the stomping grounds. I mean, it's a kind of a tight turn from Super Showdown, so they're just trying to get through everything right now because they just have a bunch of stuff stacked up on top of each other. But yeah, it was good. It was entertaining.
So that'll do it for us.
That will do it for us. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Coming up next is Fortnite with Friends. We're going to finish some challenges, hopefully. So stay tuned for that right here at twitch.tv/WTRLive, which you could follow and subscribe using your Amazon Prime account. Link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. Another way to support us is use creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Saturday night, midnight, there's CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. It's tomorrow's Flag Day, so Saturday we're doing flags. Because that's a thing, flags. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio should be previewing Stomping Grounds, 10 p.m. Eastern, I would assume. Stay tuned to Twitters and stuff for that. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to preview Stomping Grounds. So there's that. It's Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. At Wild Talk Radio on Facebook. At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. And as a reminder, 2 weeks, celebrating 7 years of the Rack. June 27th, live, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yoo-hoo!
All right, on you.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lins Ward, LANSWRD, and don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Everybody sit tight, because we're going to get the squad, and we're going to do a little Fortnite with friends. But till then, bye! All black shades when the sun come through. Uh-oh, it's on like everything goes. Bomb lock, baby, to the freak hit shows. What happens to that body is a private show. Stays right here, private show. I like a mundane, don't talk that high pain. Tolerance bottoms up when it's champagne. My life, come on, Muhammad, then we hit fame. WildTalkRadio.com.